Please stay with and
good
stay
morning.
With.
Good morning. Good morning.
Do you have bulletins?
Yeah, well, I did these for us
but
because
that's what
I just thought, like,
K-Tales is
one
prayer
where
with
the,
God. You
wow.
can't shake them off, but he just said a
that's
prayer every morning.
Amazing.
Okay, I'm so happy.
Thank you.
You
have to
stay with
God.
You
have
to
learn
something.
It's in your Bible, oh,
whatever
you want. It's
for,
or
anything.
Yeah.
So I will.
And there's
the
more.
All right, so why don't we get started? This is our last one for the spring. And then I think for summer, you know, we usually do something in the summer. And yeah, and it's sort of like, why not? I mean, I have to say, it's not that much of a pain. I know, but I am tired, so I don't feel like. That said, it always blesses me, so I'm sort of like, why would we do it? I don't know why we quit. So I have no problem continuing meeting. And so if it's a blessing to everybody, I think what we'll do, there's a Dallas Willard book called Hearing God, and it looks really good. And it's six sessions, and so we'll do the first, like, I think June. I don't know, I have to look. There may be five Tuesdays in June. This May 30th, like May hits. School's out, and that last May is after school is out. And so we probably do
week.
Yeah, and so we probably do the last week of May before June, and then skip July 4th is on a Tuesday, and so we probably do that next July, and that would be it. So
can we volunteer? I know somebody else also volunteered for their house just to give your people a break.
I don't think they care. If they cared, because I really was like, what's the easiest? And so one thought, because we've done this in the past, is to have like other like people that lead other Bible studies come in, which has always been so nice. But to be really honest with you, that's harder to do than just doing it.
It is, because you have to make all of them back.
Oh, it's just, yes, and it's just really, and I'm sort of like, I don't want to do that. It's just easier. We get together and discuss, almost like in January when we do our book club. That's the, you know, it's just so laid back and easy. And this is a book, Dallas Willard is a philosopher that is a theologian. And so, I don't know, he goes through scripture. It's very similar to what we did with the Eugene Peterson book last summer, where you can get his book, or you can just do the study that goes along with the scripture. And what can be bad about learning God?
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, so on your chairs or whatever, wherever you're sitting, this is a synopsis of what we've done since the fall. So it doesn't include everything, but it includes most things. And so on the left is who you are, on the right is says who, and there should be 12. There's 12. And at least they spelled Shaddai correctly here. I saw in the email that I did not. And I promise you there are typos. So happy day. Oh, really?
I think so.
Well, why don't you read it and see what typos I have?
Okay.
And think about it. Because you are good about that.
I used to be an editor.
Yeah, and I would be happy to do this. Yeah, I think it's really cool. And it doesn't
you say, like,
I said laminated.
Laminated logos.
I would want it.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, take a peek.
Oh, sorry, Ray.
You're so late.
Really on time.
Always on time.
Well, I did walk up to the neighbors there, and I'm like, God, they didn't have a note. Come on in. They're just the little
strike. Got grief, right? My dad literally went into the neighbor's house and all the way.
The trike gave it away, the little trike thing.
That's not our house. I bet the trike did give it away. They're so sweet. So anyway, this is just, read it. And if you see any mistakes, just let me know. Okay, so there's that. And on the email, I will put it on the email as like an 8.5 by 11 in the front and the back if you want. This just, to
love
me,
it's
just so
love
nice.
It. Perfect.
And,
so awesome.
Yeah, and you can just have your reminders. But anyway, I'd like to open us in prayer and we can meet for this phenomenal name that seemed to sum it all.
God bless you.
Bless you. Anybody like to open some prayer?
I will. Thanks. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, thank you for this beautiful morning, for the sunshine, for the birds and the new growth that we see in the creation around us, for the end of the school season and the beginning of the summer season. Lord, help us to have our hearts open and see the possibilities that we have to grow individually, in our marriages, and our families to walk in your love. Father, be with Kay this morning. She facilitates us through El Shaddai. God Almighty, Father, help us to sit in your word and soak in what the Bible tells us of who we are. Help that to be our thing. I love that for the walk today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
This El Shaddai just came to sum everything up. Which I know, I'm confused to remember. It's like the Amy Grant song, and I'm not even sure. Like, even singing that song, I had no idea what those words were.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I'm like, did she know too? Like, I'm like, I just don't know. El Elyon is so beautiful, and El Shaddai. And did we do El Elyon? I feel like maybe we did. That's the thing about these names.
Yeah.
There are so many. It might inspire us to go even look, because this weekend I was in Reston, Louisiana, doing a women's retreat, and I thought about doing these, because years ago, I was supposed to go 4 years ago, I think, possibly five, and a tornado hit the weekend I was supposed to go, completely, you know, killed Reston, Louisiana, and then the next year, COVID. And so, like, I was literally, it was that weekend when Donald Trump shut down everything. And it was sort of like, what do we do? What is COVID?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that put it on hold. And when I was moving, I saw the stuff I'd done for the retreat. And it really was based on this, even though we hadn't, because it was kind of based on the names of God. I don't know. I think this has been ruminating for a long time. Who are we? Who says who? And so I looked at that and I was like, do you want to do this again? Because we had everything printed up for it. And then I was in church one Sunday, and I heard there was just like a passing comment about one of the Beatitudes. And I think it was, blessed are the meek. And as it was being said, I was like, wait a second, that's actually who we are. And I was sitting there going, because meek means able to receive, to listen, to lean into. And then blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. As I was hearing it, I was like, wait a second, that's like all this freedom to live in this earth without it having anything to do with us. And I was like, and I started going, are they all that? And because I've never experienced, I don't know, I entered the Beatitudes and I'm like, great, read that. Be humble. What does that even mean? Or be peacemakers. I get, like, I can understand that a little bit, you know, but it's very hard to will. It does. And
yeah.
There's this underlying sort of feeling of doing. And I was that has to be inconsistent, because we know now that it's not our doing. His economy is go because I love you. And that's why I was sort of like, I wonder what would happen if we engage with the Beatitudes, not doing, not do, which is so shockingly hard. Because I spent a month and a half in the Beatitudes going, oh, this is who we are, this is who we are. And even each session when I would bring it up, I'd go, gosh, I could be naked. I'm like, wait a second. No, like, it was always a peeling off going, this isn't about doing, this is about being. And even in today's passage, I was like, what? Because, of course, this is in the Old Testament, too. And I'm like, why is it so hard for us to lean into these things? And so it's this essence of being, which I was so thankful we collectively had talked about, even with Gideon, going, he could walk into that battle because the victory had been won. Because the Lord said, I have given this battle into your hands. And it was like on repeat for Sweet Gideon, who's like, you know, can I do please?
One more sign.
And even without him asking, remember how he said, if you're still afraid, yeah, I don't hear exactly what's going on here. And even remember with those guys that were saying, oh, I know what the dream is. It's Gideon coming in and defeating us. With the past tense, the Lord has given us into his hand. And so we talked about how he could walk into that battle literally with a different attitude, and how much he needed to hear it is given. You are the victor. You are the victor. In the might that is in you, go. And I'm sitting there going, what would happen again if we were being who he said we are? Because it changes how you walk. It just does. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, Paul and Silas, if you made it to Acts, there was nothing. Mm-hmm. And it was fascinating because even in that picture, he puts into the story something that you can relate to, and that's Paul being a citizen of Rome. Because he was, he could with absolute peace go, we're not schlurking out of here. I'm a Roman citizen. And it's sort of like, why won't we do that? I'm a dying king. No, it doesn't get to steal life from me. Mm-hmm. Like even blessed are those who mourn, because it says blessed are, which
why are we blessed become
or blessed will be? No, I really am. I mean, there's so much that I'm like, wait a second, what the heck?
Well, it comes back down to also what we talked about last week with the vibe. Like, if we can be close enough in that relationship, then it rubs off on us, and we can respond that way. But if we're trying to do, then we continue trying to do that in our own strength instead of, like, just abiding and growing in how would I respond in spirit.
Yeah. And so, in this world, because it's all we know, it's because it's what we see, of course, we're going to do that. May it be more, less and less and less.
Right.
May I experience more and more and more.
Right.
And so, anyway, that's where I sat with these Beatitudes and went, dang, like, it was powerful in as much as this to me, and I hope to you too, mm-hmm. continues to just be so powerful. And I am tired. Like, I'm just tired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired, exhausted. And even with El Shaddai, it makes me think of the Amy Grant song. Mm-hmm. And like, how boring.
I think I'm the only one who has a negative connotation with that. Because I'm just
with the perfect
with no, this song. Because it's been sung so many times badly. And I'm listening, I'm like, oh my, heavenly days, you don't need to be singing with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was awful. My first thought even. I was like, how boring, blah, blah, blah. And then I started reading this going, oh, yeah. Oh.
But I don't believe
so, not. Yeah, it's just like, wow. And I just loved, it's funny because, you know, you love your though. I'm sure you've seen this, but oh, and my list for you, like, I need to put,
I just want to get to the list.
No, you don't need to. I'm just saying, there's O and N, like, right there. Oh, yeah. It's a typo.
Well, I just thought it had more emphasis.
Thank you. No. Thank you so much for meeting me where I am. But I think in this, too, I thought I had put, and I think I did on the front. Like, if you look at the table of contents, yes, I did. I put El Shaddai, God Almighty, the overpowerer, because I think that's so powerful. So I need to fix that there. All right, so let's start. Okay. When Abraham was 99 years old, this is from Genesis 17, which we're going to read. The Lord appeared to him, and he said, I am El Shaddai. And this is from, there is a great, if you look at Bible Gateway, they have all of the translations, and one of the translations is the Name of God translation, which is just fun to look at, because they've gone in and put the names of God everywhere. And, what I was going to tell you is that at that retreat, there were two names of God that were new to me. One of them was, I can't pronounce it. I have to go back and look. It's like, Hadol Go, which is your Redeemer Kinsman. And because I'm like, of course, Redeemer Kinsman is one of his names, you know? And so El Shaddai is in this Name of God version. So when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, which actually would be, you know, Yahweh El Shaddai. Walk faithfully with me, live in a way that pleases me. I will now act on my covenant between me and you. I will greatly increase the number of children after you. Okay, and this is from Warren Wiersbe. You're getting a load of people that I really like. So, El is the name of God that speaks of power. Because El is Elohim, okay, the creator. But what does Shaddai mean? Scholars do not agree. Some say it comes from a Hebrew word meaning to be strong. Others prefer a word meaning mountain or breast. If we combine these several ideas, we might say that El Shaddai is the name of the all-powerful, all-sufficient God who can do anything and meet any need. But why would God reveal his name to Abraham at this time at the close of 13 years of silence? Because God was going to tell his friend that Sarah would have a son. The Lord wanted Abraham to know that he is the God who is all-sufficient and all-powerful, and that nothing is too hard for him. God says, I will. 12 times in Genesis 17. He is about to do the miracles. After Abraham's battle with four kings, God came to him as a warrior and told him he was his shield. Remember, I am your shield and your very great. Oh, yeah. When Abraham wondered about his refusal of Sodom's wealth, God told him it was his exceedingly great reward. Now, when Abraham and Sarah were as good as dead, God assured them that he was more than sufficient to bring about the miracle of birth. God comes to us in the ways we need. Okay, that 13 years of silence was after the Lord had said, you'll have a son. And that's when all it went off with Hagar.
It's right in the wrong place.
Say that again.
To get into their own hand.
They tried. I know, but this is the whole thing. They're sitting there, and he said this happened, and they're like, what are we supposed to do? And that's just a part of it. Where am I supposed to walk? And the fact that waiting is obedience is a bridge. It's active obedience. And it's a bear. It's hard. It's very hard. Somehow we feel that obedience is moving. It is. Waiting is equal. It's obedience. It's just abiding. It goes back to that like, it's just simply being. And what's the picture of that? There's so much that he showed us in the wilderness as far as Jireh, the man of action. But he also shows this method of leading, because they stayed until the pillar or the cloud moved. And so the waiting was equal to the obedience as the moving, and there was an enormous amount of in that 40 years, okay? And he shows himself as a God who is with them, who is leading them, even as they sit. Abraham, too. And then, because Abraham and Sarah were going in every logical sense of the world, like the word, this is the promise. Are we supposed to do something? Are we supposed to do something? Are we supposed to do something? Because nothing's happening. Tick-tock, tick-tock. She's 90, for Pete's sake. You know, 80 was enough, or 75. And it's like, yeah, maybe we are. You know, maybe we are. And within the realms, they did what they could do that was according to the way that they could, you know, the customs of those days. And it was those days. And that was as much for them, too. Mm-hmm. And for us to go, I don't have to, I do need to walk. Please make it clear. Please bring clarity. Thank you so much. You never leave, even when I do the bumbling effort to go forward. Because they were like this, going, I don't know. Which should make every person as a parent feel important. Because they're not yours. Mm-hmm. They never were ours. And they've always been his. And we do our best. How many times have I sat for the Lord, like, maybe that wasn't the best idea. Please, here you go. But I really, it's in humility. Or it could be in control of fear. I don't know. Thank you so much that you don't need to think about it. I mean, I show them my very grateful for all this. Because you declare them. And whatever he's doing for Abraham, he does fear. He can't be counted. And he calls you daughter. El Shaddai, God Almighty, the all sufficient one. Yielding from himself the sustenance of all his creation. That's from Spurgeon. How beautiful is that? Moving from himself, the sustenance of all his creation. It's one of God's names, spoken of himself by himself. He is able and willing to handle every need he will or can ever have. Granted, he does so in his life, as demonstrated in so many lives throughout Scripture. But even in the way God perfectly sustains us in his sufficiency. For there is absolutely nothing.
Thank you.
Isn't that the truth? I just love thinking about that. I love thinking about a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. Do you find it easier in the times of walking or waiting for us to speak about it? Or you went through it?
Walking. Walking is easier.
Yeah. Why?
Because you're moving, you're not sitting.
You feel what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. It feels not better until you're here.
How can we get to a place like Paul where we know the secret of things we don't want?
Meditating
is a good
system. Yeah, consistently abiding.
Abiding is a big part.
I think he's the God who
He is the God who divides, and there's a part by knowing his name and how he is. Yeah. And I think together helps too.
Mm-hmm. Reminding each other.
Maybe those reminders. I wonder if that's why he always had them built off, like build up, like stones of remembrance, so that they can remember. Maybe we need to do that too. The reminders, the remembrances, to go, oh yeah, that was great of waiting. Mm-hmm. I was with those kids yesterday, and I don't think there's a day we've gone in months. There are days like deep sadness and hurt, but I sort of like, I don't think we can do one, really. And I sort of was like, look. Come tell me when there was one. Mm-hmm. And I think we can all do that. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so if you go into hard things, know that that is your shield. Genesis 17, 1 through 22. Who would like to read it?
Thanks. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram, for your name will be Abraham. And for I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations with you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between you and your descendants after you for generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant, that you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep, every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you, 8 days old, must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring, whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarah. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. Abram fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Okay, so a little of the who, what, when, where, and why. Like just context. We have Abraham and who.
Abraham and God.
And God. Pretty much Abraham and God. And it's an intimate conversation.
clearly it's after Hagar and they're wondering, where's God?
Where is he? Moses is going
to
say this.
So they seem to be kind of in a desert.
Yeah. And it says, like, if you go back for a little bit of the context, you can see, you know, where Abram was going to send by Ishmael. Okay. So to even get more of the context. And all of this is just like this wax. Like, it doesn't feel good.
I also thought it was interesting. Verse 18.
Yeah.
And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live.
Which the Lord does. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And here you have these, there are mysteries of God, okay? And this is a mystery of God. The fact that, some of the mysteries of the Lord are easier for us to swallow because it looks like a blessing. It's like, wow, Sarah is going to get pregnant. Wowzer. And then you see this blessing of Ishmael. And it's the same with Jacob and Esau, because we know that through Esau, actually are the Amalekites, which we read about them with Gideon, you know, the Amalekites and the Midianites. And that doesn't look like a blessing. And this is where the enormity of waiting and trusting and knowing the truth that there is darkness as much as there is light. And so even to be able to hand over what I see as blessing, which is very hard to separate and pull my hands off of. If I do this, then I get this. He's messing it up right here. And he does that as a gift for us. And we saw that even again with Gideon. I think I love Gideon so much because it pretty much has the whole story in it, where he's like, do not for 10,000. Because anything that you're going to do, I know you people and I love you people. And you were absolutely going to run to anything to make it about yourselves. They go, yes, we did it.
Everybody wants credit.
It just makes us feel right. It's like, I needed that to go well.
Right.
And basically what the Lord says is, eyes on me, it will go well with you. Which is part of this, what seems like a harsh enactment of circumcision. And yet there's a story behind the story on that. Because we'll see it beautifully in the New Testament, where we learn that the circumcision is actually there. And that he's done that in his first covenant that he speaks of. And it's the covenant that he did with Abraham, chapter 12, in Genesis 12, where he took both sides of it. Okay? So, we have God, Abraham. We have the covenant. Say it again. In Canaan. Yes, the land of Canaan.
Covenant of circumcision.
Yep.
And then he says to him that Sarah's name will become.
Yeah, so the name changes. We have two name changes. So, so what, as you leaned into this, what can we learn about God in these passages, his promises, his knowledge, even knowing our thoughts, his steadfast commitment, his inconceivable majesty, his ownership? I just throw these out here, just these like prompts. What do you get? What's sort of stood out? And Melanie and Julie, there are these cards maybe in your seat that is just a synopsis. If there isn't one, there's one behind you. So it's just like the whole thing, our study. All right, so I'm so glad to hear. What do you see?
First thing that popped up to me is that he's keeping true of what he said he did,
which speaks volumes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what does that tell you about God?
He's going to be true as well.
Yeah, he can't not be. Okay, so he is absolutely trustworthy. Even in saying through this circumcision, where you go, why? You know. Okay, because it's painful. Are you living in something? Are you trusting him in something painful?
I think it's also a mark.
It's absolutely
an outward mark.
Okay. Yeah. And there you go too. The outward mark of your inner circumcision is peace and joy in the midst of which it's evident. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was just thinking.
I put in my Bible, we are to look different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But if we have that leadership vision,
yes,
of our heart,
yes,
then we should be.
Yes. And it's like the more I surrender, the more differently, because you, I guarantee you, they weren't thinking every day, oh, I'm circumcised. You know what I mean? They just look different. It's got, thank you so much for going there, because it has so much of that in it. And so even without you realizing it, being abiding, you will have a different resemblance, and you're marked by joy. And you can't manufacture. Like, you can't, that's a soul thing. You can't make that up. One thing that I've learned even through our walk is that it is really easy to tell that someone's not being honest. Mm-hmm. You know? And by that, I mean even in very well-meaning, not honest responses. Are you okay? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when there's not honesty, it's very hard to ground this.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes... You can go, well, I'm sure they're not doing this, but the more it happens, the more it's like, what else isn't real? What else is being said that it's real, but it's not real? And with God, all of it's real. Every bit of it, all of this is for us, so that we stay, so that we, drawn to the fold. We're closest to that light. That the more time you spend in it, the more you're going to look like. If you go out in the sun today and sit out in the sun, which, where was that? Oh, we were at Trinity last week on Thursday, and we drove by, like, the place where the kids live off campus, and there was a pool, and everybody was out by the pool, like, in their little skimpy swimsuits, which I was sort of like, I so remember doing that. Don't you remember? And I mean, what is this? Like, the stuff you would put on to even make yourself browner. Or whatever. You just lay in the sun. It's like, come, sun. My mother still does it. She's like, I just got to get the sun. Well, you look different.
Mm-hmm.
You look different. And, yes, when you're in the sun, S-O-N, when you're in the light, you look different. And you're not willing yourself to look different. You just look different. Because who in this room, when you spend time in the light, he's breathing. And when we're holding our breath, it's like this.
Mm-hmm.
And when we breathe, it's like this. And it feels good. Don't you like being around people that are breathing?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I like being a person that breathes. Please help me know when I'm unsettled. And we'll talk about that and settle into your heart. Breathe. Okay? Yeah. And that's from the inside out, and it's recognized. And so here's a picture of that on the outside. Because let's relate to it, you know? Yes, and they're not going back and undoing, which is another thing. Can't quite undo that. May that speak on you. When you circumcise your heart.
So, went back to kind of the same thing, the circumcision.
Yeah.
That, but also the, your name is changing.
Yes.
It's like you're mine. Like,
yes.
You're mine.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
And the ownership change of,
yes,
where their heart's going to be.
Yes. Yes. And his purpose, Abraham's purpose, is called out by his name. Because Abram, I don't know what Abram means, but Abraham is father of any. Abram is just well, interesting. Thank you. I knew you would be looking this up. So thank you.
Abram is father of many. Abraham is father of many nations.
Mm-hmm.
Sarai is my lady or princess. Sarah is without restriction and princess of multitude.
Okay. And that's their purpose. And again, going back to Gideon, remember Gideon? Gideon, a mighty man of valor. It's his purpose.
But he didn't know that purpose until God spoke it over.
Let me tell you something. God revealed it,
mm-hmm.
and you have a purpose to every one of them.
Well, and he's kind of like Noah building the ark.
Yeah.
His name is Father of Many. Oh, really? You're 1,000 years old. You don't have any children. And then when it's changed, you're like, oh, wow, that's really
yeah.
Father of Many Nations.
Yeah.
You don't have any kids. You're adopted. You're as good as dead. Oh, and so is your wife.
Yes. And it's the covenant come to fruition.
Yeah.
His name has never not been that, according to God. Abraham just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's the same. That's where it's like living. You're, the purpose is woven in you. And by the way, it's a part of you. And it's not like, no, go do your purpose. It's like what you were created to do, which means it's like your wheelhouse. Like mm-hmm. it's your wheelhouse. And we really tend to discount those things that are our wheelhouse. It's sort of like the, I think I'm a kid sometimes, but it's like, this is your gift thing. And they're like, no, everybody can do this.
So they feel that right now because it's easy for them and so they don't recognize it.
So it's because in our economy, it has to be hard to
do. Yeah. Or it's just, they're so gifted at it, it does come easy to them. And it doesn't feel like a, like you have to work at it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then they start everybody else can.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. even then they start, well, I've done this. And then you see the success of other people and think, okay, I'm going to do this and be like that. And it's like, no, just be who your giftedness is.
Yes.
But yeah. we all go through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe we encourage each other. Yeah, I see your giftedness here. And it tends to bless others. And we'll do that with our kids. It's likely that they feel the same way. I'm going to my I'm only telling you this because it is his natural giftedness. I remember when he was little baby, he would do real stuff by sitting in the back of the car when he was little and add the numbers of the radio station together. Like, you go, oh, that is a body block, you know? And he did that when he was 2 or 3. And I am not kidding you. When he was taking the SAT, he wasn't good at the reading stuff, never has been. He's fine. He's just, it's not easy for him. But the math, I don't know. And I can still remember he was taking that SAT and he was really perfect on the math. And then he was like, oh yeah, and he said these words. I'm like, you know, number one, and beating himself up at the same time. And I'm like, stop it. And he was like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Everybody can do this. And I was like,
no.
And I was like, and if you could refrain from saying that, because everybody in the world hasn't and can't, and it's a little like demoralizing and rude. And but he had no idea, like, absolutely a ding dong idiot, that it wasn't something everybody did.
Mm.
And they're still appealing away, going, this is not everyone, this is your giftedness. Please go in it. I don't know what you do, but please do something with that because you'll never be happy, you'll be fine. You're going to be happiest in the real house with all of us, too. I have a friend in hospitality. She's unbelievable. You walk into her house and you feel loved. And because seamlessly, she just, it's like every single thing, every detail is thought of that you wouldn't even think of. And she is so unaware that she's doing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, like, oh, man, you just really have to do it. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I mean, I was just sitting there going, please own it, like live in it. And this is where he is with Abraham. This is who you are. This is who you have been, which we know is the truth, because he said it in Genesis 12. Even when he said, like, that's when he said, leave your father and go. That was at the beginning. Because I will make you, you know, through you will come. Okay? So that's a great one. Names are changed. Actually come into revelation of what they actually are. Circumcision, they're changed like really an altered state. And that's beautiful. Because we are too. What else?
No, there was so much silence.
So much silence.
And kind of just for the first time realized that, you know, even in the silence, when we think again, we're not doing, we're not active. He's not there. He's gone off to do something else. But that's the time that he's watering us and growing us. Mm-hmm. And so when it's time to do or receive whatever he has already planned and finished. Mm-hmm. We're ready.
Yeah.
Because if you can, there, if you receive some things at a certain time and you're not ready, then it doesn't do any good.
Yeah.
It'll be like just washed away. And so we just have to listen.
Yeah.
You can still question or laugh.
Yeah.
But
which is a great point. He's still not on the end of having it.
Yeah.
And there's so the timing issue. And God is over the time. And he puts creation for us to be able to see this. Right now we're looking at beautiful things. So we might be looking at beautiful things if we want to. Okay. There's a lot going on underneath that you can see. So the sight is actually a really big part of this too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't see. They can't see. And there comes this uncomfortable part, because whether or not I can see it or not doesn't really impact me. It's God that's sort of the definition. Whether or not it claims him God or not actually is irrelevant. It's the king. Gives the king, gives the king. Well, he is the king, clearly, because they have to ask him. You know, it's like you can't change the fact that he's king, even if you have an earthly king. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? There was one place where he said right at the beginning, walk before me, be blameless. Which he could say, I could take it as, well, be blameless. But that isn't what he said at all.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, walk before me and be blameless. Because of this one. Because of the one that's coming. It's allowing, because it's a new way before is over time, which is so significant. It's not a linear continuum. It never is a linear path. And it can't be, because he's self-existent. And because he's eternal. Because his name is I Am, it's not linear. Okay? Does that make sense? It is a continuum. Which is why he can say, I am in all, I am over all, everything. Everything, all. For me personally, I have loved that, because there are things in the past that have been very intimate, and I can have the Lord is in that spot, and as much as he's in the spot with me today, and as much as he's in the spot with me today, and which is hugely significant for me personally. And this be blameless, it's what he's saying. Own who you are. You couldn't walk before him if it wasn't true.
Okay, I just had a thought that probably you thought years ago.
I know,
just clicked. We're talking about who we are, not what we do. And his name is I Am,
yes.
Not I Do.
Right.
And it's just.
And you're created in the same.
And I just figured that out.
That's really beautiful. I'll say it again.
Okay. So his name is I Am, not I Do. And we're constantly giving ourselves value by what we do.
Yeah.
And we're created in his image, like you just said. And so we need to, I can't believe I didn't ever think
of
that.
Don't do that. Because it's like, what an amazing thought. Please show me more of that.
Yeah.
Please, is this real? Please show it to me. Because I think that's what you've been doing this whole study. Please show me who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not thought of this in that term. So that's the beauty of like being together, because it's like, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because yes, it can't be. It can't be something else.
Right.
Especially when he uses the word be blameless. It's the essence of being. It's being, which is the I Am. It's his essence.
It's that, okay, y'all, former English teacher. There's a be verb, and it's all the am, are, is, was. Those are all the be verbs. And then all the others are, and they're also called linking verbs, where they, you know, where you have an adjective at the end of the sentence. And then the other ones are action verbs, like I go, I do, I run, I...
Mm-hmm. Thank God for reading.
I think, yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I can't believe I just.
Yeah, but I, when you first said it, I thought you also mentioned, and then the second time I didn't hear it, he is I am mm-hmm. versus I do.
Right.
And so your value is in because you are.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
You be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. You just
put it into.
You are a being. And you have value.
Yes.
Because
you
exist.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
And that is really so marvelous and amazing.
You can say to yourself, I am. Did you do that? Because you are. Do you know that song? Yeah, because we're created in his image.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's like welcoming of us to become part of that.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Let's just continue with this plan.
Okay. Yes. And this is what we've been dancing around. This is what we've been talking about for the last how many months. Yes. And here's the coolest thing, because that is so big. It's so big. And it's sort of like, that's still,
yeah.
I mean, it's still, it's like, come on. And that, because that's true, that's why silence is possible. Because that is true, that's why Abraham can pass away. This is crazy.
Hold on!
Here we go!
Because he thinks now, I am father of nations.
Yes.
And it's just
so it will happen.
Which he'll even still think
there's it's like a it's just like please let me receive them. Because we're human and because we can't see, that there's this tension. And it's not like, oh, if you were better, the tension would be gone. It's not that. It's just continual, like the more, like it's endless. This is an endless proposition because he's eternal, because he is I am. This is where in eternity we'll be learning this too. And we have a great gift to be able to know him without seeing him, which is like huge, because these are my vendors. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it is being. And he says, walk blamelessly, which sounds like it'd be like we're doing everything right. There's always that slight trip up, and again, that's for us because I will trip on that because I will walk in my own effort. And in my own effort, the more effort I do, every single time we will reach a point where I fall. And this isn't, why are you a God that trips us? And he's like, I'm a God that's doing right, but that will continually put before you the things where you will, so that you might choose me over choosing yourself. Because left to yourself, you're going to always just get to a place where you're crying out. See also the Israelites when we would have felt, why can't they just for goodness sake, listen to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's because it's this gift going that you and I will. This is. Because you're a human being, because I gave you sight, you will always see, but please see through my perspective. And it's in those moments of worship where I'm letting go and I'm receiving, which is what you just said. And we are created in the image of God, and whose breath is in us? He breathed his breath in us, which is the breath of life, which is the life that rose Christ from the dead to never die again, because he's never died too. And so even like the Beatitude that was that blessed are those who mourn, and I was like, what a weird thing to say. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's because anything that isn't life is stealing from me. So please come to him with the stuff that's stealing from you. Whether it's my sin, which is death, which he has put to like finish that one. Whether it's what someone's done to me, whether it's living in this world, I mean, it's like, just come and be sad. come and tell me, because it is sad, because this stuff steals from you and it leaves you worn out. And I give you life. And these things are around you. I am over them, even though they are around you. And a lot of times you're going to be waiting in them. Like depression. Which thought. Like illness. Which thing. Like body's getting old.
Like, is there a problem with that? Everything else had it stinks.
Yes. Part of the essence of what we are, all of it. Blessed are those who mourn, because if you mourn, you're being honest about it. You're going and putting in the lap of the one who, for they shall be comforted. I see you right here. I make you. And immediately. And she said, and so God, we now know we can do all of this. I'm with you always, don't care, I'm with you always, I'm with you always, inasmuch before the name of the incarnate God was named, so that they could touch him.
I think I feel like he made us the way he did, obviously on purpose, but that if we could just understand all of this so easily, then, you know, we'll just go on our merry way. We won't be
exactly.
But he makes us.
Yeah,
we have to go to him. We have to.
Yes.
And want to, and, you know, love to.
It's
but it's not a one time deal, and you're like, oh, I've got it all figured out.
Never.
That's getting it
again.
Yeah.
I'm peeling back. And the reason why I'm saying, even for the people that had to leave, if you laugh like a dog, if you can do it with your hands. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, if you're afraid, bye bye. And it's not like shame on you. You shouldn't be afraid, because those are people too. And he says, I'm doing this because if you go with your army, even though it's puny, and especially because it's puny, next to this army that I have given into your hand, you will absolutely make it about yourself. And so for your good, I'm peeling this away. And I'm peeling it away, and I'm peeling it away. And this is so big, Gideon. I know you, Gideon. And I love you, Gideon. I love you, Gideon. So I'm doing this for you too. So you can go in the might that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's like, hey, that's who you remember. And it's like, oh, what's that? And everything that you see, thousand months of my name is going to everything that you feel lacking, my name is El Shiva. I need your name. Every single thing, and they do it out of my self-sufficiency.
And I think Jesus was a perfect example. Having to go and be with the Father and abide in him to prepare his fleshiness to walk in daily what he had to follow. You know, we can't assume that we can do the one-time thing and then walk out. It's like, no, right. Jesus was an example that he had to abide to be able to fulfill what he had.
And there was. We did that together.
Right.
And what you want. And that'll be fun.
There's a whole lot of my thoughts.
Oh,
my mom.
Forever. And joy. And that's where it is, because even in the joy of the subject, where you look at John feeling.
And which allows all the silence to be where they were.
Yes. So let's go there, because it's okay. Anything else? I feel like we really covered all the change of the ocean back thing. So Exodus 6, let's read that real quick, because this is powerful too. This is Exodus 6 with Moses. And again, this is sitting after quite a period. Moses is exhausted. Because he has, he's gone before. Nobody is like, the Israelites are in absolute dire need, okay? They're sucking air. And we saw over here in this passage, the Lord told Abraham, Oh, I guess we do. That this is exactly as it was going to happen. Wait, hold on. So Exodus 6:1-13. That the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will send them out, even the Israelites, because Moses right before it said, 'For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to the people, and you have not delivered your people at all.' Because he made everything, remember, he made it all harder for them." And so they're all like, "What the heck?" After Moses did anyway, God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham and to Jacob as God Almighty, which is El Shaddai." Okay, and I love this passage. "I am the Lord, I am not Jehovah, who appeared to Isaac and to Jacob as El Shaddai. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them in the land of Canaan, which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I heard the groaning of the people of Israel whom the Egyptians held as slaves, and I remembered my covenant. So say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people. I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians." Please fill in the blank of the world, because that's what we're being brought out of in the bigger story, sin, the slavery of sin. "I will bring you into the land that I swore to give Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for possession. I am the Lord." It's like, "I will, I will, I will, I will, I will." By the way, in case you're wondering, it's like the signature on the bottom, like, "I am the Lord." Like, who's saying this? Me. And Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. So God said to Moses, "Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the people go, to let the people of Israel go out of this land." But Moses said to the Lord, "Behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of uncircumcised lips." But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel, about Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the people out of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. Isn't that it? Yeah, that's it. All right, so who, what, when, where, why, we kind of talked about that. And so here's a little extra. Okay. What do these passages reveal about God as self-existent, Yahweh, and the self-sufficient one, and his lordship over everything, Mr. El Shaddai? And what do we learn about when and who God reveals this thing? Why would he reveal Yahweh to Moses at this time? Why El Shaddai? Or, it's just super interesting.
I think he just has, he again reveals to us the part of him that we need at that time.
Yes.
And so those, his names mean different things. Yes. And so Abraham needed that. Moses needed this. Just.
Yes, because it's to Moses he revealed Yahweh. Remember, who shall say to me? Yahweh, I am. And all the others have learned, I am, I will meet your every need. I am God Almighty. Okay. Did you see all the I wills? Did anybody write down what's on the other side of them? I will
rescue you, redeem you, be your God, bring you out.
You go, love. Okay, yeah. Bring you into. Mm-hmm. He said, I will bring you out, I will bring you into.
Mm-hmm.
And give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Deliver you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You shall know, this is taking it from sight to knowing intimately that I am the Lord. I am the Lord, your source, your savior, your strength, Almighty. How is that important and encouraging?
I'm just mind-boggling.
Yes.
But redirection and reminders.
Mm-hmm.
Redirection and reminders. Use those reminders.
Yeah.
concept that the Yahweh is personal and intimate in intention to the close relationship, whereas so the Lord is more that title, which sounds really good.
It is powerful, and they needed that power to understand who they were before them.
And he tells, whether it's Abraham or Moses, his identifier of, I was God before Abraham, I was God, and now it's like he has to remind us who he is and what he's done for us to say, I'm a part of that.
Yeah. To take it out of the story, especially familiar story, to be able to go, what's happening here? Because all these I wills, because he can't be counter to his character, and because he's the same yesterday, today, forever, every single one of these I wills apply to you. I will rescue you. I will bring you out. And the way that I will bring you into, the way that he functions, it's not only on the grand scale, it's on the very minutiae detail scale, because of who he is, even as Elohim. And that's where it starts to go. It's so much that I think it's sort of like I have to fight too much. All of this stuff, but in the most beautiful way, it's sort of like what actually does inform me is my being and the essence of who I am. And please continue to peel my fingers off the do in order to be, and please let me be so that I can be. And one comes from a place, a source of peace and power. Again, Gideon could go into that arm, go into that body, at complete peace. He walked at rest. And that's it. Yeah.
So I just keep looking at the person that I'm in.
Yeah.
So let's just talk to people who is what I feel like. But they refuse to listen to me. They were too discouraged by the
Yes. It's
yes, and what is it? They just couldn't see that they come at times if they look as far as they can speak to them. But we say, being a tree, I don't think it's appropriate. So how is it?
Breathing, living out the truth, hearing them, hearing it. I'm tired of it. It does feel like that. Times of waiting and hard work. I hear you. May not look like anything. Keep going. I'm next to you. How can I help you? What can I do? He didn't go, shame on you, you're not listening well. He met them exactly where they were. And that is seriously one of the most beautiful things that I personally found in this passage that was so beautiful. Because he says they couldn't hear. Because they were exhausted, and they literally have been beat almost to death. And this is where he goes in. Knowing all of it. All of it. Because he said it to Abraham before we were even in.
And he didn't pay it.
What?
He didn't pay it.
He never will pay. There's no
I can tell. I mean, I can take a situation. My daughter is also in college and she has anxiety. If I come at her also in panic, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that just escalates everything. If and I come to it, you know, prayerfully and I'm calm, then she's calm.
Exactly.
That's the answer. You're exuding, you're just living in faith yourself. Because we all know a stressed out kid actually is cool. And it's sort of like, I can either enter into the chaos or I can breathe and receive so that when I come to them, I'm like, I miss you. This is fun. And I still may be really chaotic inside.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But here's the deal. The more we abide, the less chaotic. You're going to have to fight for the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can actually live in the with eternal perspective, I used to, like when we did a Bible study once with all of the threads, and it was like, what are the clothes that you're wearing? And one of them was, like, as you put, and it was actual clothes, like, what are you wearing? Use them to remind you. And one was glasses. And it was like God-centered, eternal perspective lens. So that every time I put them on, I'm reminded I want God-centered, mm-hmm. eternal perspective, which I didn't even know when I wrote that down actually with that. Because I now know it is eternal life, which I've always thought is the life to come. But in all reality, because of the word eternal, it means it's yesterday, today, and forever, which means that it's eternal life today, which means anything that's taking life from me is informed by life. And then I breathe because I'm like, well, if that's the case, how can it not be? His name is on him. I can't see this, and everything's going warning, 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 warning. I go to the place that says safe. Mm-hmm. I see all, I know all, I'm in all and through all. I'm in all and through all. Then I actually do breathe. Mm-hmm. And you can go next to that kid and go, you're right. This is hard. This stinks.
I also have to remember to surrender. Even though I think I'm going to be in control of that, I'm not.
Yeah, you should want to.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Or helping them. I mean, it's.
Oh, it's terrible. I did it all day yesterday. I went to bed and I went
standing.
Yeah, I stuck my foot into the hole. So stupid. And I knew it while I was doing it. You know, I was like,
I'm doing it, it feels good.
But it wasn't. I felt terrible this morning going, wow. Knowing full well that the Lord is sitting next to me saying these beautiful words because of their broken spirit and their harsh sleep. And he's like, hey, it's harsh. It's harsh. I'm with you. And I can say, as I will today, to that person I met to in the park, I totally stuck my foot in that. And I'm sorry, I joined. Not because of anything with it being there as a problem, but there's life. And I've just played in the dirt, and I flung it on with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it with a feather in the person. Yeah, because that's a beautiful story. He knows. And he gives them more. This is what you're going to do. And even those who say, my circumstance, you know, they don't know if it's a speech impediment. They don't know what it was, except they're just making him very aware of that it's hard. So, beautiful words. This beautiful part of 87 is this one setting. Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and the thick and dreadful darkness came to the Lord, and because he sees the covenant, the Lord did both sides. And the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be slaves in the street of death. And that's what's for, you know, this was significant. But I will punish the nation. They served as slaves, and after they would come out with great possessions. And what did they do? They left with every single thing that people had, not because they took it with them. All right? Reveals a lot about God's knowledge, power, position, and his
people are seen, though they feel unseen. The people are heard, though they feel unheard. The people are safe, though they feel unheard. So, Acts 16:10-48, but it's worth reading if we're just going to read it. But that's all right. But I think it's fun going back and forth so that we see that this is the same story always. As we, don't you love this? Because it's really so cool that the author of this is with Paul and Silas. As we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much pity by fortune. She followed Paul and us, crying out, "These men are servants of the Most High God, which is El Shaddai." Okay.
I saw that.
What?
She's already exactly what they are.
Yeah. It's like, here they are, who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. And Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to his spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ." And it came out of her that very hour. But when our owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, and they are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice." And the crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, which is worship. Mm-hmm. Where are their eyes? Mm-hmm. On God. Their thoughts are on God. Mm-hmm. Their actions are on God. And they're doing this. And they could have been doing it because maybe they didn't feel so great. And they're like, "I know where to go. This is where we're going." And because we don't know all about it. We just know that. And the prisoners were listening to them, because how could they not? And suddenly there was an earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. And when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he didn't even see anything else except they were open. Fear ensued on this guy, and he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing, rightfully so, that the prisoners had escaped, okay? And the jailer called for lights and rushed. But Paul cried out in a loud voice, "Don't harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, trembling with fear, and fell down before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Okay? And that's a lot of the question, even Tracy, that you ask. What do you do in the midst of all of this? Anchored, eyes forward, worshiping God, worshiping God, worshiping God. I can't feel the stress, the anxiety, so icky. Lord, what do I have to be grateful for? Lord, how can I worship you? Because it comes into you. He will always be there and show up in mighty ways, so that even in the rushing in, you go, there's the story. There's a big story here. Okay? This stuff, it's just stuff. And so and it's enough for the jailer to go, "I don't know what you've got, but I want it." Mm-hmm. I want that, because whatever you're talking about, Almighty Man of God, because she had said, "These are servants of the Most High God." It's not about them anymore. It's about the one who is so sufficient and over every single need that they can sit in this jail and worship after heaven. Yes, and they weren't saying anything.
And to say, "We're here. Don't kill yourself."
Yes. And the Lord prompted them, you know, I'm a bigger story here. Mm-hmm. Just this guy, like, there's stuff going on. Please just say, "With this, everything's okay. We're here. We're here." And it's the Lord that this guy said. And he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Okay, and the "believe in the Lord Jesus," you remember that in John 14, he said, "Do not let the hearts be troubled, believe in God." Okay, and even in this, "in your house will be saved," everyone's hearing about this. It's like they can be saved by believing. Okay.
Okay. It's the belief in God that is the salvation, because my eyes aren't on me.
Not only the guards, but all the prisoners, everybody that's in the jail.
Everyone. Okay, everyone. And they said, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all were in his house, the people in the prison, okay? Everybody was there. And he took them, and he took them the same hour of the night, washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and his family. And then he brought them into the house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he believed to God. And when it was day, the magistrates were saying, let those men go. And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, the magistrates have sent to you, has sent to let you go. Therefore, come out now and go in peace. But Paul said to them, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And they now throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and take us out. And this too, again.
I'm sorry. They failed the Asherah and had it all burning, and they're like, bring us Gideon. And Gideon's dad is like, let Van come get him. And it's the same, like, this is what I'm saying. It's just, and so they came and apologized to them. They took them out and asked them to leave the city. So they went out to the prison and visited Lydia, and when they had seen their brothers, they encouraged them.
May we receive our citizenship just like Paul did and walk in the fullness of actually what was true. They couldn't have beaten me. And I love that they stood up for that. And it's like and there was a security in that, that he had an attitude that was different because of his citizenship. And it's like, take it to the bigger place of where you are a citizen. Even beyond being a citizen, you are a daughter of the king whose name is Adam, whose name is El Shaddai, whose name is Jireh, whose name is Rapha, whose name is Raham, whose name is El Roy, God who sees me, whose name is Emmanuel, whose name is Abba Father. Okay? Yeah. And pray in his name. Pray in his name, whatever it is. And I guarantee you, whatever has got you unsettled, there is, with absolute certainty, a name that answers that unsettled. If it's not one of these, go away. Because it's there. Because he is who he is. Anyway, the beautiful verses in Habakkuk are so nice and lovely. I'm just talking about. We just hit home again. And, just that he is your source, he is your courage, he is your strength. He makes your feet sure like the deer's, okay? And be steady to walk and to live above your circumstance on the heights. Okay. Lord, we thank you for this. I just thank you so much for this time and this faithfulness of these ladies to show up, that you would allow us to ponder these things together. Boy. Boy. And we ask in the still moments of the night that you will bring these things to us. We ask as we sit next to you, very tired people, as we sit next to anxiety or sadness, as we sit next to incredible accomplishment, that we always sit in the one place, and that is able to stand in the one place to be like you, you're precious, you're beloved, you're saved. And maybe please help us to know deeper and further, to know, which is experience, the intimate knowledge of you who is in us, who is in your brother. We use them to be walk. We just ask them to open our eyes to be able to see some of
Thank you, Kay.
I'm meditating on the feet. Slow down, because my issue is to not slow down.
Yes.
It's to see and not just look.